Can everybody hear me this morning? I'm not feeling just 100%, so y'all are going to have to kind of bear with me. When I was in the military, one of the organizations or units that I belonged to was called 3rd Force Service Regiment. So we had a nickname for it back during Vietnam. It was Fumble, Stumble, and Regroup. And that's kind of the way I am this morning. I'm certainly not offering any excuses about anything, but I had things kind of planned out. You know how we try to plan things out, and inevitably when we try to do everything on our own, it don't always work out the way we thought it would work out. And to that end, I'm not as young as I used to be. Even though my mind says I am, my body says I ain't. So we did a lot of things this week that I probably shouldn't have done. And that is, we went to an estate sale last week. And, of course, Judy's always going to find something at an estate sale. And we go in there with one purpose in mind, and we end up with a pickup load and a trailer load. And obviously, like I said, not as young as I used to be, so I tweaked something, and I'm not sure what it is, but every once in a while, when I kind of move in a wrong direction or just do something that ain't normal, it feels like somebody stabbed a knife in my back. So just kind of bear with me if you see me kind of squirreling around up here a little bit, you know, and depending a lot more on my notes today than I normally do. It's that I got a few distractions going on up here. So I think we've all experienced difficulties and hardships in our life. And if you're one of the fortunate ones that have never experienced that, I praise and thank God for you. But I think we've all had some heartaches and hardships somewhere along the way. And it's always nice for somebody to come along and give us words of encouragement. And that's, I mean, you know, that it just makes our day. You know, so how many times have we wished that when something was going on in our life that somebody would come along and offer us words of encouragement without even knowing what's going on in our life? Just out of the blue, they pick up the phone and they call, "Hey, just thinking about you today, you know, want to let you know I'm praying for you. You're on my mind, you know. Hang in there. You know, if you need anything, give me a shout, let me know." What I want to talk about today, and over the past few Sundays that I've been able to bring some lessons, we talked about the church, why it's important in our life, why we love the church, why we love our preacher. And the message I want to kind of bring across today is out of 2 Thessalonians. But in order to kind of get to 2 Thessalonians, we need to know what kind of went on in 1 Thessalonians. So about 50 AD, the missionary team of Paul and Silas, they left Philippi and traveled westward to the Roman road and proceeded toward the strategic city of the Roman province of Macedonia, Thessalonica. Thessalonica was a port city on the Aegean Sea in a modern-day Greece with a population of about 200,000. The city was filled with pagan worshipers and idols, and they were very devotees of the Greek and Roman gods, and it was well known for emperor worship. Thessalonica was loyal to Caesar, as he had granted many privileges for them to worship him. But as was his custom, Paul found the local Jewish synagogue and started teaching there. And so for three Sabbaths, he reasoned with the Jews from the scriptures and explained that the promised Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. After explaining the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, he then stated boldly, as found in Acts 17:3, this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. You need to understand that in 1 Thessalonians, the Thessalonians at that point believed that they were in the end times. They believed that they were living it, so they become complacent, they become lazy. You know, so Paul's words of encouragement was to let them know, we're not there yet. Don't get lazy. Stay alert, stay united. Some of the Jews were persuaded, along with some of the devout Greeks who were worshipers at the synagogue, and some were prominent women. They joined Paul and Silas, and the church at Thessalonica was born. There were Jews in the city who were not persuaded, and they become jealous of what Paul and Silas had done. They incited the people into an uproar and attacked Jason's house, where the missionary team had been staying. Wanting to drag Paul and Silas out, the crowd only found Jason and some new believers. The rulers, not wanting any more unrest, forced Jason and the rest of the believers, brothers, to make financial payments of security to ensure that there would not be a repeat of the resurrection or disturbance. That very night, the Thessalonians believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea, where they continued their ministry. From Berea, Paul went to Athens, and then later, as we get into 2 Thessalonians, he wanted to return back to see the Thessalonians again and offer words of encouragement. The Thessalonian church was founded in the midst of persecution. Paul had to leave the city for that reason, and the church continued to suffer even after he left. Paul encouraged the believers there not to be shaken by these afflictions, but because Christians are certain to suffer. Just because we're Christians and we have God watching over us does not mean we're not going to have trials and temptations and sufferings. So as I mentioned, the few opportunities I've had to bring some lessons, we talked about why we love the church, why it's important in our life, why we love our preacher, and why the church is important to us. So that brings us to the point that we're at today. We find our text in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren. It is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy in the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that way. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasures of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Events are moving faster and more swiftly than ever right now toward the second coming of Jesus Christ. He'll soon be here on earth and claim his kingdom as King of Kings. We can rejoice, yet we should all know that it'll definitely grow darker before the dawn. When we understand God's purpose in dealing with the nations of this world will not become anxious or discouraged. We should not become anxious or discouraged. Even though there may be some sadness and despair all around us, after describing the terrible wars, famine, pestilence, and great earthquakes that will strike our end-time generation, Jesus said, "Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near." We find that in Luke 21:28. The church at Thessalonica was a church worth bragging about. This church was being persecuted on a regular basis, yet they continued on faithfully. The evidence of this was how they allowed God to lead regardless of the circumstances. We find that in verses 5-7, "Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer, seeing it as a righteous thing which God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." God will reward his people with rest and repay those who oppose him at the return of Christ. Until then, the believer must trust that God, in his time, will handle current situations that are unjust. In order for God to make a change in our lives, we must, one, let God deal with those that hurt you. God knows what he's doing, and as verse 5 says, "All this is evidence that God's judgment is right." Christians are not to retaliate against those who hurt them. God will deal with those that hurt his people. My first thought was, it doesn't seem like it. Seems like all those around me, you know, are the ones getting ahead. And no matter how hard I try, I don't get ahead, you know, but I'm trying to live the best I can, you know, and yet these people are not in church on Sunday. They're not on church on Wednesday nights. They're not participating. They're at the lake. They're gone swimming, fishing, whatever. You know, does it appear that we're doing the right things and they're getting ahead and we're still having to deal with the trials and frustrations that we're dealing with? God has a plan and he'll take care of it in his own time. God will give us relief, and that's when he comes back and we can serve with him in heaven by his side. Second, let God give you relief. I'll use the phrase that my mother would use to my brother and me, and I sum it up this way. I am sick and tired. How many times have we heard that? I'm sick and tired of hearing this. I'm sick and tired of dealing with this. Da-da-da-da. The list can go on and on and on. And I don't know how many times my mom and dad told Delbert and me, "I am so sick and tired of y'all doing this," or having to tell you to clean your room or pick up this or do that, whatever it might be. It does get old feeling like we're the world's punching bag. Life wears us down, and we need a break. Here's the interesting part of the text. This relief will happen when Jesus comes back. Jesus comes to give us rest to the believer, but retribution to the unbeliever and the make-believer. The believer is released from injustice and suffering, and I do look forward to that day. This is telling us that Jesus will judge those who are not saved. Those who die without Christ as a Savior, they will be punished eternally. This also reminds us that the only way to know the Father is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only way to salvation. The greatest punishment of hell is not the darkness, it's not the screaming or burning, it's the eternal separation from God. With this knowledge, we may not get relief from persecution or pain on earth until Jesus comes back. As I was talking to someone about the ups and downs of my health this week, I was told, "God never gives us more than we can handle." And I told that person they were wrong. On my own, I can't handle anything. The truth is, God never gives us more than we can handle through Him and with Him. When I'm weak, God is strong. In order for God to change our lives, we must, three, let God take care of the timing. He's got a plan. I don't understand why He took my two sons away from me, but the one thing about it I do know, He got a plan. There was some method to it. There's something, and one day I'll understand it. Maybe it was to get my attention. Maybe it was to get my other kids' attention. I don't have any idea. All I know is I lost two sons, and we've all lost loved ones. You know, and we don't understand why. Why me? You know, why? God does things according to His own timing, His own plans. And we just have to trust the fact God has control of it. Paul wrote in part to encourage the Thessalonian believers to stand firm for the truth in the midst of persecution, and to assure them that God would judge those who were afflicting them, as found in chapters 1, verses 6 through 9. In verses 4 and 11, we find that God loves people like the Thessalonians and has brought them into the church and has called them and saved them. His purpose will continue to the end when they are brought to their climax with the return of Christ Jesus and judgment. We see not only these doctrines of election and call, which meant so much to Paul, but we see this doctrine of justification behind the references to God counting the believers worthy, found in verses 5 and 11, and of course in His teachings on faith, found in verses 3 and 4 and verse 11. Knowing that His words would fill the Thessalonian believers with humble desire to do better, Paul praised them for their growing faith despite tremendous persecution. Earthly troubles can be a great soil for the growth of pain through faith. Paul reassures the Thessalonians that his giving thanks to them is both legitimate and necessary because of their misunderstanding of the Lord's return. As I mentioned before, in 1 Thessalonians, a lot of the Thessalonians were thinking that they were already living in the end times, that Jesus was coming back then. So Paul had to reassure them, you know, to continue the efforts, continue the ministry. The Thessalonians have set an example for us as Christians to follow. Difficult circumstances are not excuses for us to lose faith. On the contrary, there are opportunities for our faith to grow. The Thessalonians demonstrated patience, not one of my better virtues, but I work on it every day. They endured in spite of hardships. They took their suffering and used it in positive, creative ways. In doing so, they showed love to each other. And as we talked about in a couple of the other lessons that we had earlier this year, that's part of being a part of the church, is caring for each other, loving each other, encouraging each other, and praying for each other. Also praise the Thessalonians for their abounding love to each other, rather than living according to their own self-interest, as suffering people often do. The Thessalonian believers had reached out to one another. When Paul adds the word tribulation to the word persecution, he expands the meaning to include not only what people did to the Thessalonians, but their everyday difficulties. Yet their persevering patience testified to God's power and the reality of their faith. Things that Paul could boast about to other churches as he carried on his ministry. He could use this church as the example for others to follow. The word boast simply means that Paul could hold up the Thessalonian believers as good examples. Trials do not make us what we are, they reveal what we are. Some of the most compelling evidence of God at work in Christian life comes when a person is overwhelmed by troubles and yet still serves Him. When things go wrong in our lives, we have a tendency to question why God did what He did. Why is He allowing this to happen? Are we questioning God, or are we questioning our faith? Do we really have faith that God has a plan for it? How we handle that adversity is a reflection of our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Other people see our example. If they see us questioning our faith, then what example is that showing them? Are we true believers, or are we just Sunday morning believers? They're watching. We may not even know it, but they're watching. Trials don't make us. They reveal what we are. In our spiritual walk, we'll face many challenges to our faith. We can prepare ourselves to face these challenges by studying the experiences of faith of those who've gone on before us. That includes studying the Bible. Our calling from God on our lives won't be easy. When God asks us to do something, He will give us the grace and strength we need to do His work and make it through any difficulties we might face. When we walk with God, we're united with fellow Christians. When we walk with God, we become worthy of the calling Jesus has given us. More important, however, is the fact that we'll be worthy to enter the kingdom of heaven. We need both grace and peace to get to God-given destinations. We are saved by God's grace through faith. We don't deserve God's grace, but He still gives it to us. Grace opens the door to salvation, but it also gives us the strength we need to live the lives God has called us to do and to live here on earth. Peace is just as powerful as grace. Peace means that we are one with God in thought, word, and deed. We are settled relationally with God and with each other. And nothing can change that. God's grace and peace allows us to grow in every area of our lives, including our love for others. Love is the greatest thing, and that's all that matters eternally. God's eternal love. For the people to be worthy of God's calling in their lives means they should live in harmony with their ultimate destiny. In other words, because they belong in Christ and are bound for heaven, they should act like it. We should act like it. That includes growing spiritually wherever we are in life. If we don't grow spiritually, we'll stagnate. Jesus is glorified through His people's response to adversity as believers represent the Lord amid times of trouble. They'll find their faith strengthened, their hope sharpened, and their love stimulated. We can glorify God when we live our lives to our very best. When we do the biggest thing, even when the wrong things are happening all around us, that brings honor to God. He is glorified when we put Him first in everything we do. When we strive to please God and do His will by tapping into the Spirit's power, we show that Jesus is Lord and infinitely worthy of our service. Those who have never heard or accepted the gospel will suffer eternal separation from God. When Christ comes again, He'll raise the faithful to be with Him. God's goodness will be seen in them, and their goodness will be seen in Him. This will be achieved through God's grace, the same grace He offers all of us today. All we have to do is reach out and take it. Next week, I'm going to finish up with the second two chapters of 2 Thessalonians, where Paul gives instruction to the Thessalonians on corrections on misconception, revelation of the man of sin, judgment of unbelievers, thanksgiving and prayer, call to prayer, warning against disorderly behavior, and concluding prayer. Until then, I leave you with this. We are to live like Jesus is coming back today. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the opportunity and privilege to freely worship in your house, Lord. We just thank you so much for the many blessings you've bestowed upon us, Lord. Just pray that you be with us as we go through these Sunday morning services, Lord. Open our hearts and our minds to receive your word, and that we might be a blessing unto you and to those around us, Lord. For we ask these things in our blessed and holy name. Amen.